What do you mean John 3:16? For God so loved the world.
Everyone packs a M16.
Says the girl to the fiend. So in the streets, the prodigal.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Tuesday, which means we're going to start the Blueprint Power Hour in just a moment with my co-host, Coach Rob Regish. Later in the show, we're going to be joined by bodybuilding royalty. Wayne D'Amelio is going to come on board today to talk about the introduction of the new IFBB USA Amateur Division. This is a division that will be in direct competition with the NPC. We're going to talk about how it survives in Europe and what we hope to see here in the United States if, in fact, this comes to fruition. Just a quick reminder, All-American Pharmaceuticals and EFX Sports make this show possible through a title sponsorship grant. And right now they're giving away 6 free samples of their top-selling supplements because they believe that you should try it before you buy it. And if you go to superhumanradio.net and click any of the EFX Sports banner ads, you'll be transported to a page where you put your name and address in. You have to pay $5.99 shipping, but that's legitimately the shipping. What people are getting for free is nothing short of a Christmas gift from Supplement Santa himself. Chock full of great stuff. So check them out.
Calling all Blueprint Army. Fall in line. It's time for the Blueprint Power Hour with Coach Rob Regish on the Superhuman Radio Network.
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I had to take 13 days off due to another little quirky lower back issue, but I fixed it. And went back yesterday. Everything held up great. I'm really excited.
So you hurt your back, right? You hurt your back again. And yep. But as you were talking, we were talking about it this off the air that you're always working around something. There's probably short periods of time in your training history, in anyone's training history, that everything is like full steam ahead. There are always going to be little nagging. This, you didn't sleep right, your neck. So you got to learn to be consistent even in the face of these kind of things, don't you?
Yeah, because, you know, to be defeated or to otherwise not have plan B, you know, waiting in the wings is not going to serve you well. You know, it's look, we're in this for life, and you got to look at it that way and have backup plans just in case these things happen. Speaks to resilience.
Yeah, there you go. Do we have anything to mention about special offers before we start answering questions?
No, I mean, there's nothing really to pimp this week.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
Okay, so Ron Randall says, or Randall, you mentioned the product that you reviewed last week, comparing it to Pink Magic. I remember the product because I bought it, and like most of the others, it didn't do a thing. I finally broke the habit, but why do we as consumers keep buying this stuff? What is Pink Magic for those who didn't tune in last week?
Right. So in retrospect, this is a question that needed to be answered a long time ago because it speaks to a few things, not the least of which is psychology, both on the part of the companies that are selling this stuff and the public who keeps buying them. So let's take a look at it first from a company's perspective. Company ABC usually goes into business for one and one reason only, to make a profit. The sports nutrition market is a lucrative one, and by all accounts, it's only getting bigger. These companies typically have a bare-bones staff, and by that I mean it often consists of one or two guys, you know, in an apartment somewhere, who also double as the research and development team. it would absolutely blow your mind to know what most of these companies are like on the inside. I'm going to give you a particularly pertinent example. This company that I'm familiar with was run by one guy, and to this day, I think he only has one product, a whey protein. Allegedly, a super high-quality whey coming from grass-fed, free-range cows that underwent some super-secret pasteurization, cold pasteurization process.
Yeah, which is no such thing, by the way.
Yeah, and it's sold at a premium price.
Yeah, $150 now, for 5 pounds.
Yeah, and, you know, at least at one time, I think it might have been a decent whey, but then things started to change. His supplier, who also supplied the very same product to someone else, pulled some stunt where instead of 25 grams of protein that it said on the label, lab analysis showed only 5 grams.
Yeah, but more, what was worse than that, it showed 14 or 16 grams of sugar.
Right.
And this is why people kept going, God, this protein powder tastes so good.
Yeah.
It's basically a Coca-Cola.
Yeah. You know, it was a complete fiasco. And, you know, to my great dismay, here's the biggest problem. He kept selling the batch for 5 grams of protein like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Further, this guy does not look like somebody who trains. Okay.
He doesn't look like someone who even cares about what he eats. Let's be honest. I mean, he's pretty overweight, right?
Very.
Okay. Well, I'm being kind, right? He's pretty
right.
overweight, right?
So he tells me.
And you know what? It's even worse.
What's that?
So he used to be a sponsor, and I'm not
right.
giving him any publicity. It's not
right.
that. I mean, I actually have the ChromaDex lab analysis of his product that was done by someone else
okay.
besides Mike, what's his name, from Health Ranger, who was the guy who actually exposed him. What's that? No. Mike. Oh, it'll come to me. But anyway, he's the guy who has the Health Ranger podcast and website and all that sort of stuff. That's the guy who actually exposed him. But
right.
The worst part is that he would tell people that called him up inquiring about his protein powder that all other protein powders caused kidney failure but his.
He also told people, and I saw this with my own two eyes. He said, I'm 60 years old or whatever, and I've got 17-inch arms.
Yeah.
Well, he sure did. They look like a ham.
Yeah.
You know? It's like the fat lady with big arms.
By the way, it was Mike Adams from Natural Health News website okay. that was selling the product, and he ran his own lab analysis, and he's the guy who caught them with 5 grams of protein and 16 grams of sugar in their product.
Yeah, I think at least the other outfit, you know, did a redid the label or offered to buy it back or something.
Yeah.
What shocked me was this guy continued to sell it. You know, he also tells me, I said, hey, you got weights on there? He says, oh, yeah, I got them here in my house. He sure had them there in his garage, still in their respective boxes, complete with bubble wrap.
Seriously? This is not a joke. You're serious.
I swear to you, this is the truth. In fact, he was so ashamed by his appearance, he refused to go on camera to endorse his own product. I think that's true to this day, as a matter of fact. And folks, I am not making this up. I saw it with my own two eyes. The consumer psychology is even more interesting, due mostly to off-base training or diet. Most people's progress is a notch above zero. And when you're frustrated, you're looking for a solution. And these companies are all too happy, you know, to sell you one in the form of a pill, a powder, or a potion. It fits the narrative, too. You need to take something to start gaining again. I mean, that's what all the champions do, right? We all know they're taking something, so you need to, too. The sad reality is that most of these people wake up, let's call it around age 40. They've got no money in the bank, and they realize they've pissed away their retirement by buying thousands and thousands of dollars worth of useless supplements when they were younger. Some people never get it. They continue to spend vast sums to this day. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Keep it to two, maybe three high-quality products that you know make a difference, and call it a day. You know, like the products here on SHR, they've all been vetted. I've never been let down by one. Something like Thrive is fundamental. You know, it doesn't get more fundamental than protein powder. Understand, though, real change to your progress will come only by some fundamental change in your training, diet, or rest habits. Deep down, everyone who's got a lick of experience in this game knows what I'm saying is the truth. It's just difficult to do. You know, it's a lot easier to go to the message boards, get caught up in some new product launch hype, and end up getting raped over and over and over. Stick with people and companies that you trust. Use only products that you know make a difference. And realize, in the end, muscle really doesn't come from a bottle. You know, it takes food, lots of it, hard work, discipline, and sacrifice. There really is no other way. It's a great question that he asked. And it's a difficult cycle to get out of if you're not cognizant of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And the other part of it is that people sometimes protect their investment. If they've been wasting money on a product, it's hard for them to admit they just wasted a year of time and a bundle of money on a product. So they'll keep buying it because they don't want to expose themselves. You know, I've made bad decisions. I bought product that I shouldn't have bought. You know what? I don't keep buying it because I am not going to let people know that I made a mistake. That's another thing. Dennis Wu says, I'm of Asian descent and as such have some hurdles to overcome. I'm 5'4 and around 200 pounds, some of it being chub. I'm going to start lifting weights as soon as I get this fat off. Why wait? But when I do, what's a good game plan? I don't want to waste any time. Start lifting now, first of all.
Yeah, this myth that people with excess fat need to get that off first before, you know, engaging in resistance training, that needs to die a quick death.
Yeah, really.
And, you know, I'm not sure where it comes from. I have my suspicions. You know, personally, I think a lot of those folks are intimidated by the weight, and they fear others are going to judge them, thinking they don't know what they're doing. I've heard that before, especially from women. You know, if you're worried about being judged, I've got news for you. People judge you every day in almost every interaction you have with them. Vain or not, it's reality. Right or wrong, most people will make some very general assumptions about you, given your appearance and of course, your vocabulary. The words that you use. In that sense, especially the looks department, I always remember this little anecdote from my Little League days. Our coach had one of the kids put his uniform on. His shirt was half tucked in. One sock was up, one was down. His jersey was on backwards, and his hat was crooked. You know, would you want your kid taking the field in a baseball game dressed like that? I wouldn't. And it was a good lesson in looking the part. But back to weights versus cardio. It's imperative that people understand that the most powerful weapon in the war on fat is building more and more muscle. So let me say that again. People need to understand that if they build as much muscle as possible, they're going to burn a ton more fat and stay reasonably lean for the rest of their lives. Why? Because muscle is metabolically active tissue. It requires a lot of calories every day just to stay there, never mind build more of it. You know, beyond that, consider the body that just cardio versus just weights would give you. Cardio, at least how most people perform it, it's absurdly inefficient at its stated objective for fat loss. And it's murder on muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. In other words, people that do too much of it end up losing muscle. If they do lose any fat, it's marginal. And if anything, they'll wind up smaller fat people, right, with the same or worse body composition. It's really sad. Now, the person, on the other hand, that uses resistance training only will, if they're following the right protocol, they will lose gobs of fat. They will build lean muscle to replace it and be in a far better place given the same duration of training time. You know, their scale weight might not change much, but their body composition will. Their clothes will fit better. They're going to get compliments left and right from people, and they will have infinitely more flexibility in what and how much they eat. You know, like I said before, muscle is metabolically active tissue. If every once in a while you want to have a slice of cheesecake for dessert, go for it. It's not going to hurt you. In contrast, these cardio queens, a lot of them lose 20 pounds, at least 10 of its muscle, more like 15. They're in a much worse position, right? Because most people will slave away on the treadmill or whatever piece of equipment, and in an hour's time, maybe, she'll burn off enough calories to afford that slice of cheesecake. Do you ever play with those calorie numbers and see where you are after an hour or even a half hour? I mean, it's ridiculous.
They look, I did cardio this morning because I'm doing cardio more now that my foot feels better. I'm doing it on the recumbent bike because I can't bear any weight. I rode the recumbent bike on a 15 level, random, so up and down hills, for 60 minutes, 1 hour. How many calories do you think I burned? I went almost 11 and a half miles. How many calories do you think I burned?
Oh, God. 700?
346.
300. That's what I'm talking about.
Cardio is not for weight loss, folks. Cardio is for conditioning.
Yeah.
Diet is for weight loss and lifting weights because building muscle increases your resting energy requirements. You burn more calories just sitting still when you have more muscle.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say,
simple.
That number, I wouldn't even look at that number, how many calories
you
burn.
I'm doing it for conditioning. I'm doing it for my heart. I'm doing it to enhance my lifting.
Right. So the message here, Dennis, is this. It sounds a little harsh, but it's true. Stop making excuses and start with the resistance training. You can still perform cardio if you'd like. I'd recommend separating it out on your off days.
Mm-hmm.
But the focus should be on resistance training. Call it 80-20. 80% of the time that you go to the gym, you should be training with weights. The other 20% cardio.
Unless you're really in poor condition. Like right now, I'm doing 50-50. I'm doing 4 days of cardio and actually 3 days of lifting, but the lifting is much more arduous than the cardio. But that's because I haven't done enough cardio for the past year.
Yeah, but you've already built a lot of muscle, too.
Oh, and apparently from the friends of mine that I saw this weekend we went shooting, I look much different than the last time they saw me. Now, to me, I don't see it because it's millimeters of growth a week.
Right.
But apparently I'm much more vascular. There's no doubt about it. I got a little bit of fat on my lower back to lose, and that's going to be it.
So awesome.
I've got abs. If I start shaving, I got really nice abs. There's no doubt about it.
Great.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have a question from Dan Condi. Did I pronounce that right, you think?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, stay tuned. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour. Go to CoachRobRegish.com and check out all the wonderful things Rob has to help you become stronger, faster. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperHumanRadio.net.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name,
welcome back. Age Force is offering this audience a stupidly outrageous deal. Age Force has the most varied line of transdermal delivery patches. They deliver such a vast array of nutraceuticals. And right now you can get a buy one, get three free, plus free shipping, even if you're international. If you go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad, that's the only way you can get this offer, one of the three banner ads. You will be transported to a page where you will buy one thing, get three of that same thing for free and free shipping. And if you're an international buyer, you don't pay for shipping. It's sick. Why not try it? I tell you, take the DHEA plus pregnenolone patch because that's a must for anybody in this day and age. Show Age Force some love. Okay, so Rob Regish, the next question comes from Dan Condi. So I'm really getting into strength training and would like your honest opinion. Is there any possible way to become a pro without drugs? I ask because Ronnie Coleman started his career as a drug-free pro and took it all the way to the Olympia. I don't know that that's true. Do you?
No. You know, there may have been a time when Big Ron was drug-free.
But it wasn't when he was a pro. It definitely wasn't even when he was competing.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the time he got to the Olympia stage, those days had long passed.
I mean, here's the rumor that at his peak, he was using 6 grams of testosterone a week, a gram of trenbolone, an anthate, and some various other oils and orals. So I mean, you know, I don't know that he was. Maybe when he was an amateur, he may have been natural, but that didn't last long.
No, and you know, the short answer to this question is no. You know, at least as the judging criteria exists today, there's no way someone, no matter how genetically gifted, can look like that, right? Much less win a major show. I want to take a look, though, at how bodybuilding got this way, because it's really important. As recently as the 1980s, there was still some semblance of, let's say, symmetry as part of the judging criteria. For example, Lee Labrada. I think he placed in the top three at least 2 or 3 years in a row or something to that effect. Prior to that, in the 1970s, classic physiques like Frank Zane, they were still competitive. Zane was an incredible specimen at around 190 pounds, and he had a physique anyone would admire. Today, he'd be laughed off the stage because of something that started in 1992. What started can be summed up in two words.
Debo. Debo. Yeah.
Dorian Yates.
Yeah.
Prior to Yates, a big man on the Olympia stage was maybe 250 pounds. But when Yates showed up for that year's Olympia, he looked like he was from another planet. You know, he was damn close to 300 pounds of ripped muscle. And the judges rewarded it, of course, by giving him something. What did he get, 7 straight Olympias in
a
row?
Yep.
And after Yates, they just kept getting bigger, right? We talked about Ronnie Coleman. Coleman, too, went on to multiple Olympia wins. But in the process, you know, what he had to do to get there, he damn near ruined all his joints from heavy training. At one point, he was in a wheelchair. But thankfully, I understand today he can walk. The genie, though, was out of the bottle, right? Mass monsters have ruled the stage ever since. And I don't follow it like some people do, but I don't think there's been any wholesale changes. The advent of the 300-pound bodybuilder shouldn't have come as a surprise if you were paying attention, because John Perillo foreshadowed what was to come in the early 90s in his Muscle Mag column. And in it, Perillo advocated for a combination of ridiculously high calories, up to 10,000 a day, loaded facial stretching, and liberal amounts of MCT oil. Now remember, fats are 9 calories a gram, right? Instead of 4 for just carbs and protein. Even if you're eating just 20 times body weight in calories, nobody doing that does it clean, at least for any consistent period of time. Got to have some fats in there. Long story short, unless the judging criteria changes a lot, you won't be getting your pro card without the drugs, which isn't to say you should give up. Far from it. You know, people were growing gargantuan amounts of muscle and displaying ridiculous levels of strength long before even weights, never mind you know, effective food supplements that we have today. A lot of the how, though, has been lost to the mists of time, as virtually nobody cares or even knows where to go to learn what the true masters, people like Vince Gironda, worked so hard to figure out. How to grow heaps of muscle without drugs and, you know, keeping your health intact. You need to understand this. Steroids and other growth drugs, while they're mandatory pretty much for pro bodybuilding, they still aren't the ultimate answer. They're really not. They're just a part of the overall formula that's necessary to excel as a bodybuilding pro. Instead of someone who can be really big, really strong, and really impressive without them. So I don't know if your goal was to become Mr. Olympia or a pro bodybuilder, but that's how it is. And I'm just trying to open your eyes to other goals, goals which are achievable without the drugs. And you can do it today easier than what a lot of our forefathers, an easier time than they had. You just need to know how. And sadly, that information, like I said, has been all but buried. People don't know where to go to.
Next question comes from Tom Doran, or Doran. He says, I'm really tall, about 6'6", and still growing. The problem is I'm real hard gainer, tiny joints, and I have a hell of a time putting on weight. I'm 19, so in my prime, as you say, I understand. I have to eat a lot, and I've learned a lot listening to you, so thank you for that. My question has more to do with training. Is it true tall people shouldn't squat? I have some pain in my SI joint while squatting. That's not good. So I'm guessing I'll have to give it up. What do you think?
But what may be true is you need to modify your squatting style. The first thing I do is learn to squat on a parallel box, because doing so immediately addresses some of the fundamental flaws in squat technique. You know, if you set the box upright, you'll always know you're squatting low enough. You'll also know you're not squatting too low, which can put excessive strain on the tendons and ligaments. Box squatting with a wide stance also keeps the knees from tracking inward, as I cited in that example with the high school kids. As far as your SI joint is concerned, I would first get that diagnosed. I mean, just get it diagnosed so that you know what you're dealing with. A good chiropractor, I suspect, is the doctor that you would need. Because if it's a structural issue, you may need an adjustment. You know, you don't need a bottle of painkillers. You need an adjustment and some tweaks to your training. I suspect it's probably more of a technique issue. So try this. You know, when you do go and perform a box squat next, put a band around your knees and push outwards. I did this recently with one of my female trainees. She unfortunately has a chronic, terrible condition. It's called ankylosing spondylitis. The disease attacks many of the joints in the body, but universally, it's the SI joint, and it fuses them together, so you can imagine the pain. De facto, she was having pain, even doing bodyweight squats down onto a bench. I had her use the band, and presto, her pain was all but eliminated. So I have a feeling that the same might help you. There's also all kinds of alternatives to traditional squats that you need to look into. Front squats, goblet squats, searcher squats. belt squats, squats with a hip belt. And I make that distinction for a reason, because if you've ever used a belt squat machine versus the super squats hip belt, the machine bothers some people's knees, and me being one of them. I mean, it was really dramatic. No matter what foot position I took, my knees were killing me. But, you know, I cinch up an Iron Mind hip belt with a loading pin, and problem solved. And that's true in other people, too. That's not just me. Bulgarian split squats are another great movement. Related things like lunges and heavy step-ups, holding dumbbells in your hands. Experiment with all of those to find two or three that are right for you. Now, it's an individual matter. It really is. So I can only make general recommendations, right? I'm not working with you one-on-one. There is some variation, though, of those squats that will suit your physiology. You just need to find it, work like hell on it with progressive poundages, and you will reap the benefits. Last point, you know, we talk about being tall and needing to make, you know, use alternative movements. We talk about my back injury. We talk about getting sick. At one point, I had the shingles. You know, there's one thing I've learned in all my years of doing this. Don't you ever let anybody tell you there's nothing you can do. There is always a way. It's just a matter of finding it.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we have more questions. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour. Stay tuned. We'll return.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen
Whether
X2
your goal
now
is
has
to build
double
muscle
the key.
Or burn fat. You'll find everything you need at Redcon 1. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new transformation challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
There's growing interest in hemp CBD products within the fitness and wellness communities for focus and recovery. Are you one of those people? Then check out the H Hemp Company. Learn why they only use U.S.-grown hemp. See how a portion of every purchase at the H Hemp Company goes to helping stop the opioid and anti-anxiety drug epidemics. The finest full-spectrum hemp preparations with benefits patented by the U.S. Department of Health. Honestly, use code SHR and save 20% off plus free shipping. The H Hemp Company.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
My daughter Sydney is becoming a physical culturist. She was just messaging me and asking what she should eat post-workout. She's getting it. She's understanding it. This is good stuff. I'm very happy. I used to take it to the gym with me when I had a train, and I'd get her set up with Cartoon Network, and she would walk on a treadmill while watching cartoons, and she'd see me down there deadlifting and squatting and bench pressing and all that sort of stuff. And all of a sudden, she's been going to the gym. I got her a membership at my gym. I didn't say anything else. I didn't say, hey, you got to use it, nothing. And she's there 5 days a week now.
That's wonderful.
Lance Buonaconte. It's actually Buonaconte, I think. Buonaconte. He says, what are your thoughts on diet these days? I mean, versus when you first got into this way back when. So how has your perspective on diet changed from when you first started this journey till now?
Yeah. You know, my thoughts on diet, they've kind of evolved over the years. You know, the longer you're in this game and the more you learn, and time also has a way of putting things in perspective. So let me give you just one example. You know, when you're young, you really don't see the connection between eating a good diet and health, much less your performance. You hear a lot of things about how important it is to eat clean and or eat enough, but until you actually do make those changes to your diet, it's tough to see it. There are a lot of people that think feeling tired, sluggish, and borderline ill, they think that that's normal. And those people, they make no attempt to manage the glycemic index, control macronutrients, or otherwise control any other aspect of what they eat. They eat whatever they want, when they want, and generally are a slave to whatever's within reach. And let's be honest, that's a lot of vending machine crap, fast food, and otherwise, you know, things that aren't good for you. They look and perform lousy because that's how they eat. So, you know, they actually think that's normal. Until you make big changes, you too might think that's normal. It's not. You know, you shouldn't be feeling that way. People who do nothing but switch to consuming foods found on the outer perimeter of the supermarket and make a concerted effort to ditch high fructose corn syrup and its various guises today. What are they calling it today? Do you know?
What, high fructose corn syrup?
Yeah, I thought they came.
Oh, they call it glucose sucrose syrup. They call it fructose syrup. They have all these new names. That's why you don't see high fructose corn syrup on anything. They didn't stop using it. They just call it different things now.
Yeah, and that came with the blessing of the FDA, which
they said, hey, you want to trick people? We'll let you trick people.
Yeah. But people who cut that out and eat better, they actually look better and can't believe the difference it makes in how they feel. You know, get them exercising and they see results even faster. None of that happens, though, without a little effort, some sacrifice, and in some cases, some major life changes. As far as the best diet, you know, that answer is going to be different for different people. For a long time, you know, for people looking to burn fat, the best diet was Atkins. You know, it, if nothing else, it seemed to finally register in the American public's mind that carbs, primarily refined carbs and sugars, were the real villain and not dietary fat. But it's important to point out that took at least a decade, but it finally happened. Today, even the medical community uses a ketogenic, very low-carb diet for people that are morbidly obese, and let's say they have surgery coming up. Well, you know, these doctors won't operate on morbidly obese people, and with good reason. So the prescription they give them is low carbs. Insofar as athletes are concerned, though, I don't think straight low-carb diets are best. More likely, cycling ketogenic diets with some semblance of carb refeeds. Today, I see intermittent fasting as being, you know, the single most appropriate diet for the broadest swath of people, both athletes and the general public. Now, it's likely still a decade or more away from widespread acceptance, but the potential upsides for all parties are just too much to ignore. I was on Subversity just today. I think Adele's got an amazing article about a study showing every other day fasting showed fat loss and all kinds of other, you know, dramatic
benefits.
Improvements.
But more than a 500 calorie a day reduction.
There you go.
So now think about this. For those who are out there who strictly believe calories in, calories out is all that matters. Yeah. So just 2 days a week of only 600 calories. Was more effective than reducing caloric intake by 500 calories 7 days a week ongoing.
Right.
Now, the latter was actually a greater reduction in total calorie intake. So in that example, calories in did not equal calories out.
Right. So whether you're eating carbs or not, intermittent fasting is proving over and over to be at least as good, if not significantly better than most diets, if nothing else, due to its simplicity. Because even if intermittent fasting gave the same results as other diets, it still wins because of the simplicity involved. There's no or very little calorie counting. There's no complicated macro splits. There's very little food preparation. You're eating one or at the most two meals. Right? So cleanup, even that is greatly lessened. You know, just fast and undereat for 16 hours or eat for 8 or fast every other day. You don't need to read an entire book. You need to weigh or measure food, you know, at least in the diet's simplest iterations. And diets, and this is the key point, diets that are easily understood are usually the easiest to put into practice,
stick with,
and comply with.
Yeah,
which is probably the most important variable in long-term success of it.
Yep.
So, you know, I've been using variations of intermittent fasting for the past 20 years, ever since I read Ori Hofmeckler's interview.
Warrior Diet, the Warrior Diet. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I adopted it fairly early on. So given its track record and its other attributes that I just mentioned, I would suggest starting there and then just playing with it. It's that good.
Let's go on to the next question. It's from Ray Stevens. He says, what do you think is the biggest supplement scam to hit the market? You've been around a while, so I'm curious to know what you might think.
Yeah, this is a great question. We can and will have a lot of fun with it. But there's a lesson here to be learned, too. You know, don't fall victim, because what was used before is sure to be used again. In fact, at least one of these is. As any student of the game that's been around for any amount of time can tell you. the earliest supplement scam I can recall in my life, this is the, we're going back to the mid to late 80s, it was a product called Hot Stuff. Hot Stuff was a powder. It was one of the earliest kitchen sink formulas that hit the market. It contained, dozens, I think, of ingredients, mostly, I'm sure, in window dressing amounts, wrapped up in a freeze-dried glandular yummy base, which came in delicious chocolate and banana flavors. Now, believe it or not, the flavor, at least the banana, if I can remember, it wasn't that bad. I think I mixed it in orange juice. But it had ingredients like gamma-arazinol, ferulic acid, bee pollen, royal jelly, coenzyme Q10, Smilax, yohimbe bark, all of these things just laced the ingredient panel. If it was popular, it was in there. So you drank one or two of these things a day, and magic things were supposed to happen. The funny thing is, if you got in on the first batches, sometimes it did. You know, I recall gaining a quick 5 to 10 pounds and feeling it. That's the only way I can put it. And being hooked. The only problem was this. Subsequent batches didn't work the same. Cybergenics was the next one that I can recall. At least that one came with a halfway decent training and diet booklet and an instructional video if you got the deluxe case. You know, the various cybergenics isolates that came with it, they were nothing more than amino acids, B12, stuff like that. But they were packaged and dosed in a way that really made you think somebody had developed a steroid replacement kit, which is exactly how they marketed it. Weight gainers with ever-increasing calorie totals, those were next. You know, I note today they're making a comeback. I was in Vitamin World the other day, overheard some store lackey pitching it to an unfortunate teenage kid. In my days, the weight gain wars started with, I think, 600 and 700 calorie products, and then Twin Lab broke all new ground with Gainers Fuel 1000, most of it from cheap maltodextrin, which was then just 50 cents a pound. You know, now, given a 4-pound product, usually sold for around $30 way back when, you know, guess how much they were pulling down? Most of it was maltodextrin. Much to my astonishment, while I was at Vitamin World, I spied a jug of what became the apex of stupidity with this category of products, something called Russian Bear 5000.
I remember that. I remember the ads in the magazines. The guy had like an AK-47. He was dressed in military gear. Yeah.
Yeah, he had the Russian sickle behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, as the name implies, it's 5,000 calories when mixed with a shovel-sized scoop and I don't know how many cups of whole milk. I think you got 2, maybe 3 servings per container. You know, but there it was, still gracing the shelves, which tells you something scary, right? Somebody's still buying the stuff. So, look, here's the bottom line. There were lots of supplement scams, just like there are today. The ruse is the same, but bad and or bought and paid for scientific studies are now used today to fool people. You know, even with the advent of Google and PubMed, you know, a certain number of young people, they're going to always fall for this stuff. Just resolve not to be one of them, that's all. But those are my 3 favorite supplement scams going way back.
Looking at the time, I think we're going to go ahead and roll right into the blueprint tip of the day.
Okay.
Because I want to try to end on time today because we have this exciting interview with Wayne DeMilia.
Oh, I didn't know
about
that.
The introduction of, so the NPC looks like they're going to have some competition very shortly. The IFBB has an amateur division that is over in Europe and Spain and other places, but not in the United States. And it looks like Wayne DeMilia is bringing the IFBB amateur division to the United States, which means that it'll be in direct competition with the National Physique Committee, the NPC.
Yeah, that's huge.
Well, especially because it's IFBB. So, right now, if you're an amateur, you're an NPC,
right?
And then you quote unquote get your pro card with the IFBB. But if you have an IFBB amateur division, that's the feeder to the IFBB pro division, that might have an interesting twist to things. So I want to go ahead. Let's roll right into the blueprint tip of the day.
Yeah, okay. I'll try to keep this quick.
Yeah, no problem.
This is the great flamingo epidemic, as I call it. So longtime listeners might recall the name Eddie Azzaro. He was kind of my mentor. And he remains one of the hardest working people I ever seen, both in or out of the weight room. But he had this derogatory term for guys that didn't train their legs. He always called them flamingos. And beyond the obvious connotation, he pointed out the strutting, preening, and colorful nature of his example. And he was right. These people they've got a bad case of imaginary lat syndrome, usually. They strut around, they don't pass a mirror that they can't look into, and they stay far away from the squat racks, real far. You know, if the water fountain wasn't where it was in my gym, they wouldn't even walk in that direction. But, look, they didn't squat, and you should, because consider the untrained body, right? Consider somebody's untrained arm. Let's call it 14 inches. The legs are usually 20 or thereabouts. Again, that assumes no training. Now, you put things in motion where the trainee embarks on a program of 20-rep breathing squats, a handful of big basic movements, but no curls, not one. A year later, that guy is likely going to be at least 25 pounds heavier. He's got 16-inch arms now. His legs are 26. So, he's gained probably at least 20 pounds of muscle, 2 inches on his arms and 6 inches on his legs, without doing a single curl or tricep extension. Flamingos, on the other hand, they have a different trajectory because they refuse to squat or deadlift. Their workouts follow this predictable pattern. It's benches, inclines, declines, cable crossovers, sometimes flies. Then there's arm day, or should I say days. Hours and hours spent slaving away, performing barbell curls, dumbbell curls, preacher curls, all these crazy kind of curls. Lat pull-downs instead of pull-ups, maybe some cable rows. But it's not long before it's back to curls for the girls, right? In a year's time, he might be 10 pounds heavier, maybe. His arms still don't, tape 15 inches because it takes a good 10 to 15 pounds of body weight to put an inch on your arms, but he's unaware of it. He's also oblivious to the fact that working upper body exclusively never stimulates a lot of muscle growth. Okay, that's just how it is. Flamingos, I've also noticed, they're more susceptible to drug use, right? I've seen it over and over, because it goes hand in hand with their frustration of ineffective training. And ultimately, they might get frustrated enough to take drugs. Right? And that's just how it is. Even if they do, they're still leaving 20, 30, or 40 more pounds on the table. Serious trainees laugh at flamingos, okay? The biggest, strongest people I know, they don't look in every mirror they see. They go to the gym to train, not be seen. They do squats and heavy pulls in the squat rack, not curls. They eat big, they train big, and they think big. They're not afraid to get under the bar. The lesson here, folks, is this. Don't be a flamingo. Okay, if you are. Start hitting the legs today. Pour yourself into big basic movements. Do it as frequently as possible, and do it consistently, because it will quite literally be the most productive muscle-gaining period of your training life. Don't neglect your legs.
Let me ask you a question before we break this interview off.
Yeah.
If I could guarantee you bigger shoulders, rounder shoulders, stronger shoulders, broader lats, and triceps, bigger and stronger than you've ever had before.
Yep.
But you would have to buy a set of crutches and spend at least 20% to 30% of your normal walking day using your crutches. Would you do that if you could see results in as little as 2 weeks?
Probably in a heartbeat, I'd try it.
Well, buy them, brother. Buy them. I'm working on a blog post. A lot of my shoulder problems are going away.
Wow.
Like the impingements. My shoulders are bigger and broader and rounder than ever. You try walking on using your arms.
Yeah.
Dr. Seeds told me that there's a study out there that shows that using crutches raises your metabolic rate by 26%. But never mind that. My triceps have never been bigger, and it's just been 2 weeks because I have to use my – I can't use my crutches indoors. It's too close of a confined space. But right. I have to use them outdoors, otherwise it takes me an hour to walk from, you know, the parking lot to the Kroger's. And wow. I can fly on my crutches now. It takes a little getting used to. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to see changes in your upper body that you will never, ever see in the gym, buy crutches and start using them. And you'll get a lot of sympathy, too. People are like, I'm just getting over an injury. So here's another interesting fact. I did cardio this morning, and my lumbar spine kind of felt a little tweaky, and I had pain in the upper part of my glutes.
Right.
As soon as I got on the crutches, hey, they suspend your spine.
Wow.
It stretched out. The pain went away like in two strokes. I felt it go away. I felt everything kind of fall back in place. I'm telling you, one of the greatest kept secrets of physical culture may be buy a set of crutches, learn to use them, and people will look at you and go, damn, man, you have your shoulders are broader than ever. Man, your arms look great. Your lats look great. Oh, try walking around on crutches for 2 weeks and then email me at onair@superhumanradio.net and tell me that it didn't completely change your physique.
That's almost like an assisted version of walking on your hands.
Yes, it is. You know, you don't realize how, you know, it's so easy for us to walk on our feet. Try walking with your arms. Try walking with your upper body. This is a game changer for anybody out there who wants to take their physique to a different level. Like you're stuck. Oh, I can't. My shoulders don't grow. My triceps don't grow. You haven't used crutches yet.
Wow. That's cool.
Insane. It's insane. I look forward to using them. I'm going to keep using them even when my foot heals. I'm going to go up and down the street with them.
That's awesome.
It's an amazing form of cardio that builds muscle. It's insane. Hey, good to talk to you today, brother.
Same here. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Wayne D'Amelio. This is going to be good. Stay tuned.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but 6 of their top sellers. That's right, 6 different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice, plus free shipping, just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. You know, when Superhuman Radio first started in 2005, the show was actually about bodybuilding. But my good friend Randy Roach had a big impact on the direction of the show when he wrote the first volume of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, because I quickly understood that it wasn't bodybuilding that I was in love with. It was physical culture, of which bodybuilding is a splinter faction of physical culture. So I can't ignore the originating roots of this show, because bodybuilding is still pretty important to us, because let's face it, we may not ever want to get up on stage and compete, but we want to know the secrets that the athletes who do that understand so that we can build more muscle faster. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about Kevin Lavrone's comeback at 53 years old and how amazing he looks. And my buddy said, remember him and Porter Cottrell used to go back and forth back in the day. And I had seen some pictures of Porter. I know Porter pretty well, living here in Louisville. And, you know, and my buddy said, you know, Porter hates bodybuilding now. And I says, really, why? He says, you know, it's just the politics. And, you know, now that he looks at what he subjected him to and himself to and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people feel that way about bodybuilding. And they complain about it, but nobody ever steps up to try to do anything. My next guest is actually trying to do something, and the reality is that he's tried to do something for bodybuilding through his entire career, and he is Wayne D'Amelio. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Carl?
Wonderful, wonderful. So for those of my audience who are not avid followers of the sport of bodybuilding, you probably are considered bodybuilding royalty. I mean, you have been involved with the promotion and progression of the sport in the United States since how long ago?
Well, I first officially got involved in 1973. I was 23, going on 24. And I got involved with Tom Minichiello, who ran Mid-City Gym in New York. And I had seen the Mr. Olympia contest, and I found the sport very entertaining. But I was saying, well, why don't they do this, that, and the other thing? And I joined the gym, and he saw I was enthusiastic, and he made me the Metropolitan Director of the AABA, yeah, which at that time was the American affiliate to the IFBB, AABA being the American Amateur Bodybuilding Association, and the IFBB being the International Federation of Bodybuilders. And by 1975, in the spring of 75, I ran the Mr. Eastern America contest for the AABA/IFBB. I was 25 years old. So I was very young. Every competitor was older than me in the competition. It was an amateur event.
Right.
And it was successful. Well, as I pushed it, I got a sponsor, which basically didn't exist back then. You know, getting a company that gives you money in exchange for exposure.
Yeah.
And I went out and got a sponsor, covered all my expenses, so everything that came in the door was profit. And I basically badgered everyone in Mid-City Gym to buy a ticket. They would say to me, Wayne, here's the money. Get out of my sight, you know. And they'd buy a ticket. And tickets were only $5 for general admission and $6.50 for reserved seats. You're talking a long time ago. And after the event, I looked at it and I was bored with the amateur event because I wanted to run something bigger. I wanted to do something with the pros. There wasn't many of them who were stars. And so they didn't even have a pro division or whatever, pro committee, nothing. I remember in 75, then later on that year, I went out and talked to Joe Weider. And I said, told him what I wanted to do. And he goes, you got to talk to my brother, Ben. I didn't even realize at that time there was two of them. His brother Ben ran the Federation. Joe ran the magazines. But I wasn't able to see Ben until 1976. But in the interim, I had become friends with George Butler, who did the Pumping Iron films.
Right.
And Pumping Iron 1 hadn't come out yet. And George took a liking to me because I knew the history of the sport. And I was young but knew the sport inside and out. So he said, you know, when we edit certain scenes, I want you to come up and look at it and tell me which one the bodybuilders would rather see. So I was able to be involved in the film as technically an independent consultant, uncredited independent consultant. But every time they would have a screening, I was there. And I got to be very friendly with Arnold back then because they would bring Arnold to the screenings. So by the time I got to see Ben Weider in 1976, at the World Championships in Montreal, I had written them letters and whatever that I wanted to do all these things. So they gave me 10 minutes. It was like seeing the Pope back then.
Right.
People would be lined up in the hall, and you had your time. And my time, I remember, was 2:10 on a Thursday afternoon, and they called your name out, and you went. You go in, and Ben Weider had this big suite, and he's sitting in a big armchair, and you sit in a chair a step below him. And he goes, okay, you're the guy that's been sending me all these letters. You want to do all this stuff. You know, tell me what you want to do. So I told him I want to run pro shows. I want to create a lot of shows and make it like golf and tennis, and that should create points to get into the Mr. Olympia and all of this. And he just looked at me, and he goes, do you compete? I said, no, sir, I don't. He says, do you own a gym? I said, no, sir, I work for AT&T. I said, I've worked for them since I got out of college. He says, do you even work out? I said, Mr. Weider, no offense, but you're skinnier than me, and you're running this thing. And he left, and he says, okay, we're starting a pro committee tonight for all the things you said. Of course, I had said these things to Joe Weider a year and a half before, and they took my ideas, and now they were going to institute them. I said, well, can I be on the committee? And he said, no. He says, not my decision. I said, well, whose decision is it? He says, the chairman of the committee. And I said, well, who is that? He goes, our greatest champion, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I said, oh, fine.
I know Arnold.
Yeah, he goes, I know Arnold. And, you know, he goes, how? I said, through George Butler, the Pumping Iron film that's going to come out in a couple of months. So he just looked at me, shook his head. I said, thank you, shook his hand, walked out.
He probably thought, at that point in time, he probably thought, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and I'll never hear from him.
Exactly, But I walk out, go to the elevator, push the button to go to my room. The elevator door opens, and no lie, there was one person in the elevator.
Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yep. I love it. It's like kismet.
And,
you know?
And I walk in, and I say, oh, Arnold, I hear you're starting a pro committee tonight. He goes, yes, Vane, you want to be on the committee? I said, yeah, I do. Vane, be at my room at 7 o'clock. And that was that.
That was it.
And the original people in that room, Jim Lorimer was there. John Balick, who ran Iron Man magazine,
sure,
was there. Paul Graham was there from Australia. Warren Langman was there from New Zealand. So there was a select few people, but I had already had a hold on a date. I knew I was going to get the rights to do a pro show, and I decided I was going to do it in the springtime since the Olympia was held every fall, and I figured I needed over a year to do it. I knew I needed a lot of lead time because I had all these ideas, but I had ideas that people had never done before.
Yeah, and so you had nothing. You had
I
nothing
thought they
to
would
follow.
Work, but I was it wasn't 100%. You know, I was just a cocky young guy that had ideas, and I was going for it.
Right.
And so when I went to that meeting that night, I knew I had a date a year and a half later, May 6, 1978, at the Town Hall Theater in New York City. I had a hold on that date. And I told those people, when I come back from this meeting and get the rights, I'll come and pay the deposit. And they said, only people at this meeting are going to run contests. Well, back then in the 70s, you know, 76, 77, 78, 79, Arnold and Jim Lorimer ran the Olympia those 4 years. So they weren't going to do another show. And I looked around the room and I'm thinking to myself, oh, none of these other guys are going to run contests. And so when I left, I had the rights, and at the Congress the next day, they announced me on the committee, and that these were the only people that were allowed to run shows. And I put down my deposit, and I wrote a letter about a week or so later to Ben Weider. But you got to remember, this is prior to computers and internet, prior to even fax machines.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I said, I'm going to do a pro show on May 6th in New York City. I'm going to call it the American Professional Bodybuilding Championships, and we want to run that show every year, and each year we're going to give the show a theme, and this year the theme is going to be a Night of Champions.
Right, so I was going to say, NOC, that was the Night of Champions events that people still talk about till this day.
Exactly, and the thing is, that was just a theme. It was the American Professional Bodybuilding Championships, and we were going to change the theme all the time, and this and that. So Ben goes to me, well, I want you to pay a sanction fee. I go, does anybody else pay a sanction fee? I said, does Arnold pay a sanction fee on the Olympia? And he goes, not up until now. I said, well, what do I get for this sanction fee? The right to run a contest that I'm inventing? You don't have anything. You want to overtake all these other organizations. You got to build everything up. I said to him, I'll pay you the sanction fee. I said, but I want guaranteed 3 ads in Muscle Builder magazine, because that was the only magazine back then. And he said, okay. So we put it into an agreement. And, you know, when I saw the ads start coming, I mean, you know, because you needed the ads to go. Now, I got a call from Arnold then about a month or so later. He's saying, I don't want you to pay the sanction fee. I said, why? He says, because if you pay the sanction fee, then he's going to charge me a sanction
fee. I have
fee
to pay.
Well,
I knew that's where you were going with it. Then I have to pay it, too.
Yeah. And I go, well, you know, Arnold, come on. You are Mr. Olympia X amount of times, the greatest champion in the sport. I'm some guy that was working for AT&T, who walked in off the street with ideas. Right. I don't pay the sanction fee. He'll dump me in a second. I said, you got leverage. I said, I look at the sanction fee as he's giving me the ads in the magazine. I said, the ads in the magazine cost more than $500 an ad. I'm getting 3 ads for $1,500. I said, I'm looking at it as advertising expense. And he goes, well, I don't really want you to pay it. I said, well, we'll see. So I talked to Ben. I said, you know, I got this call, you know. I said, I don't want to cause no problems between anyone, but I don't like being in the middle. So, but he put me in the middle. He says, well, you know, you pay, you know, if I keep up my end and give you the ads and you pay me my money, then, you know, he's going to have to do it or else you could run the Olympia. I said, yeah, you're just putting that out there as bait for me to go for it.
Right.
This is advertising. You give me the ads. I pay you the money. I said, but I don't pay you till that night. I said, by the way, where did you come up with the $1,500? He goes, I looked up your theater. I called the theater you're using, and they got 1,498 seats. So I'm charging you $1 a seat. That's the way he put it to me. I said, okay. So here I was. Okay, I got the rights to the show. I knew some of the guys. I knew Boyer. I knew Ed Corney. I knew Robbie. These were all the big stars.
Right.
Frank Zane was Mr. Olympia, and Mr. Olympia wasn't going to go into a show other than the Olympia, but I was going to get all these other guys. So we get it. And a guy I met in the gym, a guy by the name of Charles Blake, was the vice president of on-air design for NBC, the network. And he would do all the ads for specials on NBC back there in the 70s and sporting events. You know, he was a talented guy. He was an artist. And we had met in the gym, and I told him, you know, he saw the ad that I did for that little amateur show, and he goes to me, "Who did your ad for the amateur show?" I said, "I did." And I'm smiling. He goes, "It stinks. It's terrible." I go, "Really?" He says, "Come to my office after we train, and I'll show you what I do." And he showed me. And that's when I said to him, "Well, I'm going to run pro shows. How about we be partners? You do the ads and staging and this and that, and I sell the tickets and get the athletes." And we said, fine. We shook on it. We never had a contract. And so, you know, Charlie makes this beautiful poster. And in January of 78, right after New Year's, I start going around the gyms and asking them to put up poster, and nobody would put it up for me. Because 6 months before, Dan Lurie, who had his barbell company and he had his own organization and everybody knew him in New York, ran a contest and he was saying it was Arnold was going to be against Sergio. But he did a little fakery with the way he advertised it. He put on there, invited to compete, not contracted
to
compete.
Yeah, he may not, like in other words, he may not show up. It's funny.
So, of course, Sergio shows up. Arnold didn't. The place was packed, and everybody was pissed.
Yeah.
So now I go around, and I go to the gym owners. They go, "Look, we all sold tickets for Dan Lurie 4 or 5 months ago. Arnold versus Sergio, and Arnold don't show up, and all my members are pissed at me. And now you're coming along. I don't even know who you are. And you're telling me Robbie and Danny and Boyer and all these guys are going to be in the show? No, it's not. You know, they wouldn't put it up." So when I went to one Brooklyn gym, the biggest gym in New York at the time, Hardcore Bodybuilding, where there was, I don't remember, women weren't into gyms yet.
Right.
Women's had their own health spas. Right. So all the gyms were young guys in Hardcore. And I went to this one gym in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, called Bath Beach Health Club.
Oh, hell, I know where that, and Bath Beach is a rough area in Brooklyn, too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I walk in there, and I go to the owner, a guy by the name of John Barbero, and I said, "I'd like you to put up my poster." And he looks at me and looks at the poster. And I get the same thing. "I did this for Dan Lurie, this and that." And I'm looking around, and there's all these characters around him that look like they're going to take me out, do me in, and put me in the dump in Staten Island somewhere.
Right.
Okay. You know, looking like right out of the Godfather movie that was only a few years before. So, as cocky as I was, I said, "No, what? Give me the calendar." He looks at me. I said, "Give me a calendar." He takes the calendar off the wall. I said, "Give me that marker." I said, "This is the contest, May 6th. Here, I'm going back a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks, this Monday in April. I circle it. Robbie Robinson, 8 p.m. And the guy looked at me. I said, "I'm going to come here 3 weeks before the show with Robbie Robinson. And if I come with Robbie, you put up my poster and you push my tickets the last 2.5 weeks. He goes, "Well, what do I do then if you don't show up and all my people are here?" I said, "No, what? Okay. Need a phone number on here?" Because you got to remember, Ticketmaster didn't exist back then.
Right, right.
So they either called me up for information and I told them send it to the P.O. box, or you could go to the box office and buy tickets.
Right.
I said, this is my home number.
Yeah, give it to everybody, and they could call and they could come and kick my ass. If they
and
want.
Here.
Yeah.
I went one step further. Here's my driver's license. Make a copy of it. There's my home address. I don't bring Robbie that night. You guys here, or you standing behind him, you can all come and bring me in. And they all looked at me like, you're out of your mind, you know. I said, "You do that for me." And that's what I did with every gym. So I called Robbie, and I said, "Robbie, I'm going to need some help." Now, Robbie and I, when we met in 75 at the 1975 IFBB Mr. America, when we met, we just hit it off. We just became fast friends. So we stayed in touch and this and that. When I'd go to California, I'd stay at his house. When he'd come to New York, he'd stay at my house. I mean, that's how tight we were. So I said, "Robbie, I need help. Nobody's going to promote this show." I said, "This will all pro bodybuilding, but if I fail, you know, it's just going to be Mr. Olympia. It'll be stagnant. And you come in 3 weeks ahead of time, and we go to gyms every night to push the show. It goes fine.
Right.
So he comes in with his wife at the time, and he comes to see me. I was there with my wife, Karen Clark, at the time. And he comes in like 5 days before, and that night we get in the car, and we drive. I used to live in Westbury, Long Island, so we drive to Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. We couldn't park within six blocks that night.
There were so many people there.
Park.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and we finally go, and we're walking up the street, and Robbie's walking with me, and the two girls are walking behind, yakking away. And Robbie goes, "It's all them people up there." I said, "That's the gym." I said, "I think they're all waiting for you." He goes, "You're kidding." I said, "Nope." And he stops in his tracks. He puts his arm around me. He goes, "I'm scared. All these people." He said, "Being on stage is one thing. I'm going to walk through them." I said, "Don't worry. I'll protect you. A skinny 155-pound me, 6 foot, 155 pounds. I'm going to protect Robbie Robinson, the best-built guy probably in those days."
Right.
As we walk, somebody sees him when we're about a half a block away. And, you know, you hear all men's voices talking like you're at a ballpark, all the voices talking. And then somebody goes, "There he is." Dead silence. I was like Moses parting the Red Sea. My scepter was Robbie Robinson. As we walked, it just opened up, and everybody just stared. We walk into the gym on the top floor, because the top floor was a store and everything. The gym was down below. And there was the gym owner, Johnny Barbero, who became, you know, I'm still very good friends with him 40 years later, and all his relatives that looked like they were out of the Godfather movie. And I go, "John Barbero, Robbie Robinson."
Man.
You know, their jaws dropped.
Right.
I said, "Rob," and so Robbie just goes to me, "Man, just tell me what to do. I want to get out of here alive." Robbie, you know, Robbie's scared.
Yeah, right.
I said, "Shake his hand." I said, "Now, his wife and my wife have posters and tickets. They're going to go over the accounting of the tickets, count them out and everything so you know what you got. We're going to go downstairs. He's going to hit some poses, and you're going to say, if you want to see Robbie Robinson compete on May 6th, we got tickets up here for the American Professional Bodybuilding Championships and Night of Champions."
Yeah.
And we go down. It was a sea of guys. And you got to remember, this is Bensonhurst, 1978.
Right.
You know, Saturday Night Fever time.
Right. Right.
They're all there with their hair slicked back, all these Italian guys.
Yeah, yeah, and their huckapoo.
You know, in a Dwight T-shirt.
And their huckapoo shirts on, right?
Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, they're down there, and they're pumping away, and I walk down with Robbie, and they're silent. I said, "Stand on the bench, take off your shirt, it's some poses." They went crazy.
Yeah, I bet. We have to take a break. We have to take a break, Wayne. We've gone really long, because what I want to do when we come back, I mean, you've set the stage. You've set the stage that you've been doing this for a long time and you know how to do it well. But I want to talk about the IFBB amateur division coming to the USA and
sure.
What that means to bodybuilding in general, because I think that's the important message today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Wayne D'Amelio. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Talking with Wayne D'Amelia. As you can see, he has been in and around bodybuilding and bodybuilding promotions for a very long time. And actually, a leader in the segment. Lots of the things that he introduced back in the day at the Night of Champions became staples and mainstays for bodybuilding competitions worldwide. So let's now move to the real topic at hand. For a very, very long time, the IFBB in the United States has been the pro division. Right? You get your pro card, IFBB pro card. But the NPC has had a grasp on the amateur division. And exclusively, and any time any organization has come forth and tried to challenge the NPC, the NPC would systematically tell their athletes, if you compete in any of these other non-sanctioned events, you'll never be able to compete in the NPC again, which I think that's been ruled now to be illegal. I'm not sure about that. I remember reading something about that a few years ago. But so now the IFBB in other countries has both a pro division and an amateur division, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you are endeavoring to bring the IFBB amateur division to the United States, correct?
Correct. What happened is in 2004, by 2004, early 2004, I was fighting with Ben Weider on a daily basis. We were fighting over different ideologies with the sport, or how the sport should go, or what we should do, and so on and so forth. And it came to the point where we had a conversation one day. We all knew where it was heading. It was like, you want me to fire you or you want to resign? And I said to him, it doesn't matter. I'm done with this. And I quit. He fired me. I quit. You could say whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Right.
We parted ways. You know, was I trying to change the sport and do something different? Yes. I wanted to get drug testing in there because too many guys were dying. We lost our television contract.
Well, wait a minute. I'm gonna take issue with that because the amount of anabolic steroids being used today in America and the number of deaths, there's not a linkage between that. But what I will say is this. I will give you this, that anabolic steroid use and the blatant abuse has made bodybuilding and maintaining a bodybuilding competitive physique unsustainable and dangerous health-wise to the competitors. And it's created a physique that has actually alienated it from ever being enjoyed by the average mainstream American. I'll say that. The linkage between the death, you know, the destruction of liver,
No, we had a lot of deaths. We had a lot of deaths from diuretics.
Ah, yes. I remember Porter Cottrell told me a story about...
Porter was there, 1992, Middle Harness, Holland.
Yes. He actually administered
Benaziz's hand and checking his pulse. Art Bedway was holding his head steady. Porter was the other side of Benaziz from me on the floor doing CPR.
Right, because he's a fireman, he was doing CPR, right.
Yeah. Right. And I looked at Art, and I felt Benaziz's pulse disappear.
Ah, that's terrible.
Just then, the paramedics came. They put the electrodes on him. They started a couple of times. Boom, beep, beep, beep. Three times, strapped him up, took him. And then we got a call 2 hours later. He had passed away. It was from a diuretic overdose.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Paul Dillett... Or delay.
Almost died on stage at the Arnold.
Was that the Arnold or the Night of Champions where he literally became a statue? They had to carry him off stage.
That was at the Arnold.
Okay.
We took him off stage. He was cramped all the way. By that time, we had portable IV units in the back. That's how. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes during Olympias, between rounds, guys would go on IVs so they could continue. I mean, this was no longer... Yeah. You know, sport.
And that's my point. It became unsustainable. It became unsustainable.
Exactly. And we lost TV contracts because we refused to drug test.
Right.
And as the physiques became more and more unattainable, non-marketable or whatever, television didn't want us. And, yeah, the sport was lucky that there's all these companies from within the sport, supplement companies, that were buying advertising, buying booths, sponsorships, and whatever. But we could never break out and get into the mainstream. And my arguments with Ben was, if we start on a progressive drug testing program, we then possibly could take it mainstream. At one time, bodybuilding, and Carl, you maybe remember this, in the 1980s,
the Olympia
was on T.
Yeah.
It was everything, World Pro Championships. We were on Wide World of Sports, Sunday Sports Spectacular, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
I mean, we worked with IMG, International Management Group, the largest sports marketing outfit in the world. They would sell the shows to television, and then they would hire me to put the shows together, and we'd work together, myself, IMG, and the network, and we'd do Men's World Pro, Women's World Pro, and mixed pairs. And we were on... every year, and then sometimes even the Olympia. So we were on television, but the world did not know about drugs at that time. And I always say the world changed for bodybuilding and for sport in 1988 when Ben Johnson got caught, because when Ben Johnson got caught at that Olympics in Korea, the world learned about stanozolin, or by its other name, Winstrol.
Right.
And they learned the word steroid, because we were on tour after the 88 Olympia. And I remember we were leaving London, going to Madrid, front page London Times, front page the Madrid paper, and there it is, all about drugs. And I said to the guys, this is going to affect us. And they go, why? It's track and field. I said, but now when we go home, even your grandmother's going to know about steroids, and they're going to ask you, do you take these things? which is what happened. And if you look at, back at the history of amateur bodybuilding in America, up until the time Ben Johnson got caught, teenage bodybuilding was thriving.
Right.
Everybody wanted to run a teenage show because we felt each teenager was worth 8 to 10 people in the audience.
Right.
And you'd have so many teenagers. I remember Jim Mannion and his Mr. Pittsburgh had so many teenagers one year, he had to run the teenage judging the night before because there were so many teenagers. That's 50, 60 just teenagers. And from the time of Ben Johnson, it's gone down, and there's hardly any teenage bodybuilders anymore. Because if you're living at home with your parents, they don't want you taking anything like that.
Right, right.
So it's changed the sport. And I said, Ben, the only way we're going to do is we can't go into full drug testing. You got to do a progressive drug test where this year we eliminate this, and next year we eliminate that.
He didn't want to do
like
it.
Just like all sports.
He didn't want to do it?
He wouldn't do it, and we would argue over it. And I'm saying, well, you don't want to do it. Maybe I got to maneuver people that maybe you're out and I'm in. I'm, you know, some, you know, I said, I go to the hospital with the guys every night.
Right.
That when they get sick and tell the doctors what to do.
Right.
You know. You know, I mean, I had to go, you know, when Ben Azizah died, then I get the call from the hospital and they said, I said, okay, you know, and they go, well, you got to come here. I said, why? He says, you're the guy in charge? First,
right.
You got to do body identification.
Right.
Then you got to sign the death certificate. And then you got to get the body out of here. You know, you don't think about these things.
Right.
I go there. You know, everybody wanted to come. And there's Ben Azizah in the morgue in the basement of the hospital, lying on a stone slab.
I got to bring you back on topic here because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, okay.
So,
okay.
So the IFBB.
I'll get to it. I quit in 2004. I did other things. I hear things here and there about what was going on in the sport, and I hear that Jim Mannion and Raphael weren't getting along. Okay, big deal. That happens in bodybuilding. But what happened at the Olympia this year, I don't know all the details. I wasn't there. But at that point, they split. For whatever went on, Jim Mannion and Raphael, who had been fighting for about 10 years, split. And Mannion said, I've got the pro league. So he was running. When I left bodybuilding, he took over pro bodybuilding. He changed the name from pro division to pro league. And he goes, the NPC, I'm going to start an amateur federation in every country, and I'm going to start my own amateur federation. So Raphael, they go back. They're in shock because it's split. And Mannion says, I got the Olympia. And Mannion thought he had all the Arnolds. But Jim Lorimer and Arnold hadn't made the decision yet. And as we see now, three of the Arnolds are sanctioned by Raphael's organization and two of them are sanctioned by Jim Mannion's organization, according to the country and whatever. And when they went back to the room, they're saying, not only do we have to start our own pro end, which they call Elite Pro, the largest country, America, we don't have a federation. And, you know, I was told by people, somebody said, who's got Wayne's phone number? And I get a phone call. I get contacted that Sunday by my friend Carlo Tignani in Italy, who's good friends with me, but he got a call from Benedetto Mondello, who runs the IFBB for Italy, who was with Raphael, saying, can Raphael call Wayne on Tuesday? Will he take his call? Which I found quite funny because I take everybody's call, you know. And he called me and he said, would you come back and run America for us on the amateur end? I said, I'll only do it under certain conditions. There has to be drug testing.
Right.
And he says, we've started drug testing. We're underwater. I said, send me the papers. Let me see. When I saw what they were doing, I'm saying, okay, fine. Let's move on from there. We've got to do more for the athletes. We've got to do more than just have them compete for a trophy or a medal.
So like what? Give me an idea. Let's detail some things. So what will the IFBB amateur division do for athletes that the NPC?
Well, like the shows we're running in Texas this Saturday and Florida the Saturday after. The six winners, in the women's division of women's bikini, wellness, or figure, and the winners in the men's division of men's physique, men's classic bodybuilding and bodybuilding, those winners will have a choice. One, they can go to Brazil and represent the United States at ONA Classic South America in São Paulo, Brazil. Or, two, if they don't have a passport and can't get a visa that quick, they can compete in, they can get a pro card, we'll issue them a pro card, and they'll be able to compete in the first ever IFBB World Pro Championships, which will be held in Miami, it looks like.
Wow.
In September, with $250,000 prize money. Or they have a third choice. They can go into the North American Championships in October in Tijuana, Mexico, and that's the first qualifier for the Pan Am Games. Bodybuilding, in trying to get into the Olympics, has been accepted into the Pan Am Games 2019 in Lima, Peru.
But not the NPC. This is IFBB.
No,
yeah,
the IFBB.
Right.
So once I agreed to come on board, I agreed officially on October 20th, and they officially sworn me in, you know, at the ceremony at the Congress the end of October. When Raphael then spoke to the USOC, he says, we got a new federation in America. Wayne knows all about drug testing. He did the first drug test in the IFBB in 1985. I honestly drug tested the Miss Olympia back in 1985. We did legitimate drug testing back then for, on the women to start with. And, you know, so they contacted me. We spoke on a big conference call with numerous USOC people. They're very happy. They know that I'm doing random drug testing. We're starting out small. Drug testing does cost money.
Cost money, right.
And we don't have much money yet, but we're building. When they know we're drug testing, they've already sent me the criteria for the Pan Am Games and how we're going to do it with the North American Championships and then the top 15 from the North America, the Central America, the Caribbean, and South America compete in a continental championship, and then those winners go into the Pan Am Games and so on and so forth. I mean, so we're all on page with that. And because we're following protocol, there's a very good chance that sometime in the very near future, the United States or a new organization can get USOC recognition. Now, the new organization I started is IFBB Physique America. And, you know, if anybody wants to know what we're doing and see what we're doing or join us, you just go to www.ifbbphysiqueamerica.com. Very simple. But, you know, we're looking at the Pan Am Games. But if we get USOC recognition, this opens us up for major companies.
Oh, major companies.
Because
but also, it makes these athletes legitimate athletes because they're actually.
Exactly.
I mean, this is right now, bodybuilding is pretty much a dead end sport. The most you can hope for is if you win the Olympia, you win the Arnold, you get contracts, you get opportunities, but you're still not looked at by the major portion of Americans as some legitimate athlete. This would actually legitimize the sport. We have to take a break. Now, I got some hard questions to ask you when we come back, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to start off by asking you, how does the NPC and the IFBB amateur division coexist in other countries? And then what do you expect to happen here? Because obviously, Jim Mannion isn't just going to let you move in. Lots of people have tried this before with other governing bodies. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's growing interest in hemp CBD products within the fitness and wellness communities for focus and recovery. Are you one of those people? Then check out the H Hemp Company. Learn why they only use U.S.-grown hemp. See how a portion of every purchase at the H Hemp Company goes to helping stop the opioid and anti-anxiety drug epidemics. The finest full-spectrum hemp preparations with benefits patented by the U.S. Department of Health. Honestly, use code SHR and save 20% off plus free shipping. The H Hemp Company.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil.
works, while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil.
Relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil,
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out. Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back.
We're talking with Wayne D'Amelio about the introduction of the new IFBB amateur division to the United States, which will give athletes more options, obviously, and perhaps even a future as a real professional athlete as things start going. So does the IFBB and NPC coexist in Spain and in other countries?
No.
Not at all?
No. No. Jim Mannion is starting his own international federation.
Oh, so he's gonna compete against the pro division of the IFBB?
Well, he has the pro league.
Oh, that's right. You just said that. I'm sorry. Right.
Yeah, Rafael, see, what's going on is Rafael's got the international amateur. He's strong there. Jimmy's got the international pro. He's strong there. Jimmy's got the NPC in America. He's strong there. Rafael needs it, but Rafael's got the in with the different Olympic committees. There's 196 countries affiliated to the IFBB. That makes it the fourth largest sports federation in the world. Out of those 196, about 101 or 102 have Olympic recognition from their national Olympic committees. Here in the U.S., we don't.
Right.
Because when the NPC was the American affiliate to the IFBB, they were not testing under WADA, World Anti-Doping Agency.
Right.
And that's one of the criteria.
Okay, so
when Jimmy
got up, go ahead. So when,
Jim Mannion pulled away, and they asked me to take over, and I said I wanted the drug test. They were all happy, and I said it has to be done underwater, and that's what we do it with. They said to me, "Fine." Then they could go back to the USOC saying, "We've got a new federation that's starting in 2018. They will be running their contest under water protocol and restrictions."
Why wouldn't Jim Mannion just say, "Okay, fine, we're going to use water too"?
I can't answer that for Jimmy.
Okay. Because he's obviously had that opportunity for lots of years, right? I mean, he could have done that at any point in time, but he just chose not to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. All right. So
obviously.
Now, so are you and Jim Mannion on good terms? Are you friends or at least cordial?
I haven't spoken to Jimmy. I left in May in 2004. And we all went to dinner one night, a bunch of us with our wives and friends, in August of 2004, and that was the last time I spoke to him.
And at that time, were you and him cordial?
Oh, we were friends. We were goofing around like we always did.
Okay. No,
from that point on, you know, haven't been. And, you know, not on my end. I'm friends with anybody and everybody.
Right.
I don't have no problems.
Right. You got no beef with
But him. If he chooses not to, you know, I mean, it doesn't change my life. You know?
Okay.
There's many other people that I meet along the way that become new friends. So it's okay.
Okay. So now let's talk about this IFBB amateur division for a second here in the United States. It's my understanding that you are looking for people in different states to kind of be chair people of their state. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, we are. We're looking for people to run the states for us and promote for us in different states. And we're in the process of putting things together right now. But if there's anyone out there that would like to be a chairperson, because we also, you know, like in Texas, the first chairman I named was a woman chairperson in Texas, a former MPC bikini pro. Her name is Shanann Siglock. She has a gym. She's a personal trainer. She's competed as an IFBB pro. And she's in charge of Texas for us.
Now,
I mean, so
like the guy that I know here in Kentucky, I think you may have spoken to him. I'm not going to name any names, but if he was to get involved with you, he would have to break all relations with the NPC, and that would kind of put a damper on things for him, at least in the transition. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, because the NPC and other organizations say, "You can't run a show for us and run a show for another guy." See, I look at it total freedom. You know, if I want to promote a Rihanna concert this month and a Jay-Z concert next month,
right,
I can do it.
Yeah, right.
But I can't, you know, in some of these organizations, I won't even use the NPC. There's a promoter in the NGA. And he wants to promote for us, but he had already signed to do the NGA show. And they said, "Well, you're an NGA promoter. You can't promote for them in the future." And they hassled him. I said, "Look, you promote your NGA show. And when your commitment is over, you decide. You want to stay with the NGA, you can. You want to promote for me, you can. I don't have a problem with you both promoting both. You promote one show a year for me, one show a year for them. I don't have a problem."
I mean, that,
they
I mean,
have
that,
a problem.
That's why.
And that's a violation of federal law. That's a violation of our freedoms.
Oh, really? And hold on a second. So I just want to make an analogy. The reason Microsoft grew so fast is because they had open coding, where if you want to write software for one of their for their machine, you could write software. On the other hand side is Apple. They didn't have open coding, so their coding was proprietary. They didn't let anybody do anything. And as a result, there's literally thousands of programs available for Microsoft computers compared to one or, you know, a handful for Apple in comparison. So what you're saying is, look, let the promoters promote five shows a year and have them be with different organizations. Everybody is doing well. But the attitude right now is that to protect one's territory and, like, say, no, if you promote a show, any other show, you can't do it for us anymore. And we're the big game in town right now. So,
well, you know, again, you know, it's people that don't have self-confidence. When I got involved with this, people said to me, "It's never going to work." Got to remember, in the early 1970s, the Olympia wasn't the biggest pro show in the world. It was the NABBA Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to people, people said, why are people going to come to your shows? I said, first off, the fans are going to come because I'm going to do a better show. I'm going to make it entertaining, mm-hmm. staging, lighting, themes, this, that, and the other thing. And secondly, I'm going to treat the athletes better.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm going to give the fans, if I put a name on a poster, that athlete's going to come because I'm going to sign him to a contract. Before that, nobody signed a contract. I mean, I had an incident with someone who unfortunately passed away recently in the very beginning, Jim Morris, former Mr. America. He was going to enter a pro show I was doing in Pittsburgh, and he didn't get on the plane on the Thursday to show up. And when I called, his reasoning to me was, I looked in the mirror this morning and I didn't like the way I looked, so I'm not getting on a plane. I said, Jim, what about the fans that are coming to see just you? You got fans. We only got, back then we only would have 10, 12 guys in a contest. And back then you had to be, Jim Morris was a Mr. Universe and everything else. You had to be a universe winner to turn pro. And I said, people are coming to see you and you're not here.
Right.
And he says, well, that's just the way it is. And then I had, Bill Pearl was my head judge. It's Bill Pearl, full-time Mr. Universe. And he trained Jim Morris. And, I'm pissed. And I get up on the microphone and I say, I think you have a right to know that I advertised 12 people here and only 11 are on stage. Jim Morris didn't show up, and he said to me he's not coming because he didn't like the way he looked. I said, my thing to Jim Morris is you signed a contract. You made a commitment. That's why I have contracts, to protect you, the audience. If I do an ad, I'm going to produce the guys on there or else they get punished. So you know what, Jim Morris? I know this is going to get back to you somehow or another. You're going to get fined, and maybe you don't compete in any of my shows no more because I can't trust you. You sign a contract, and you think you can do what you want. Bill Pearl came to me after the show and says, Wayne, you can't say that, this and that. He's a bodybuilder. I said, what does that mean, Bill? That a bodybuilder doesn't have to obey rules, doesn't have to commit to a contract and live up to it? He goes, well, it's like NABBA, We don't sign a contract for NABBA. Whoever shows up, shows up. I said, this isn't NABBA. I said, we're going to run this like a business. And unfortunately, the NABBA Pro Universe is not going to be number one no more because the athletes are going to like the way they're treated, and the fans are going to come because they can buy a ticket. No, I said, how many times people buy tickets and the people on the poster are not there? I'm not putting anybody on a poster if I don't have a signed contract. If I sign and have a signed contract, you better show up. And if you don't show up, you better get me two doctor's notes from doctors of yours, and you got to go to a doctor of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know bodybuilders have doctor friends.
Right. So wait.
What happened is Jim Morris showed up in New York 3 weeks later. He got up on stage and apologized. And I said, I'm sorry, Jim, I'll bring you in next year and you compete here and everything's happy.
Right.
And I was friends with Jim Morris, for the rest of his life.
Right.
But I mean, I put things in for commitments for the fans and everything. And you got to remember, again, I was younger than all the competitors.
So I'm just sitting here thinking, so to me, it sounds like, you're going to have a hard time getting people who have established shows in major marketplaces to leave the NPC and come to you because the athletes may have a hard time competing in a sanctioned event by the IFBB amateur division because the NPC is going to shun them. I mean, let's be honest. I could decide, okay, I want to be the IFBB guy for Kentucky. I'm going to put the money together. I'm going to get the show. But if I don't have enough athletes that show up, I don't have a show. And really, the grip that the NPC has is on the athletes. Didn't someone in Texas just take the NPC to court? I know his name.
Yes, Lee Thompson.
Lee Thompson. How did that work? Did he win? Did he lose? Where is that?
They settled out of court.
Yeah,
settled out of court.
That's a shame, and I'll
and
tell you why.
There was 11 items that Jim Mannion had to agree to, one of them in which is an amateur athlete has the freedom to go into any contest he wants, and that the NPC and the IFBB Pro League will not threaten, coerce, whatever.
So any athlete,
vendor, sponsor, this and that, from participating in other shows.
Will they do that? Will they in fact do that? Or is that what they've agreed
to?
Well,
according to Lee Thompson, if there's a violation of that agreement, each violation is a $25,000 fine.
Wow.
Okay. Now, there hasn't been any open threats against anyone. There might be some under the table. I wouldn't go there if I was you. You know, just that's not a real threat.
Yeah.
I look at it this way. I mean, right now, yeah, I got natural organizations that hate me. They're saying, oh, you know, there's not enough athletes to go around. But see, I'm doing, let's look at all the natural organizations. What are they doing for the athletes? Where's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for them? They don't even have an Olympia or an Arnold.
Right.
Okay? And I'm saying is, look, I'm not coming to your shows to solicit your people. We're putting on our publicity. Everybody has a right to know. If you want to come in my show, yeah, this show you get a trip here. This show you, the show in Connecticut. The two top people in that show are going to the Diamond Cup in Italy, in Rome. Trip to Rome to compete. Other people are going to, you know, the Caribbean Championships or to Barcelona, Arnold in Barcelona, all these different events, the events up in Montreal, all different events we're sending people to. We're giving them something back. On top of it, the World Amateur Championships, which we always used to send a team to, and then for some reason we stopped. They hadn't sent a team, the NPC, to the IFBB World Championship, Amateur World Championships in 20 years. Well, now the men's and the women's World Amateurs, you'll go represent your country there. At least you're getting something. Now we're coming in with Elite Pro is putting a lot of shows. They had 22 shows scheduled around the world. And then Raphael contacted me about 3 weeks ago and said, you know, we would talk, because we started talking about a World Pro Championship in Spain at the Congress. And he goes, well, let's do it in Miami in America. The IFBB is going to put up the prize money and all the Federation heads, we're all going to work together, donate our time. Nobody's going to make money. We're just going to do a pro show to make it good for the athletes. And we're going to go around looking at theaters next week. And we'll find a theater and we'll sign with them and we'll do the World Pro Championships. So there'll be more for the athlete in prize money and whatever. And then all these trips from IFBB Physique America that we're doing, we're giving the athlete something. So the athlete has a choice. You know, if you go into the NPC, and if you win, you can go to the NPC Nationals, and then you can get a pro card, and if you get a pro card, you go in a contest, and you could compete in the Olympia, okay, if you want to go that route. If you want to come our route, you can compete, and you could stay an amateur, and if you keep winning, hey, we go to this, we'll send you to this country for this show, this country for that show, you go all around the place, or you may get into the Pan Am Games, which is a forerunner for the Olympics. That would be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Or you could turn pro and go into what pro events.
Okay. I'm actually gone long on this segment. I have one more question, and then I want to plug the website. Let's plug the website again. For any athletes or anybody who thinks they want to be the IFBB amateur head of
They want to be a chairman or a promoter for us, just contact us at IFBBPhysiqueAmerica.com.
PhysiqueAmerica.com.
And you can see the contact numbers, and you'll see you can contact me by email or by phone, IFBBPhysiqueAmerica.com. And, you know, if you're interested, I've got people that have never run a show before that want to be promoters, and I say, I will be your co-promoter, but I don't take a percentage. I will lead you the way.
Interesting.
I will teach you. And that's what we're doing. And we're going state by state. Yeah, it's taking its time. I was hoping to have, you know, 5 to 8 states the first year, and I got way more than that already organized with contests in them.
Okay.
And we're moving along.
So give the list of states that you currently have that athletes who are listening to this may think, gee, I'd like to compete in that event. What states do you currently
have? Well, you know, like I said, we have an event on March 24th in Texas in Dallas. We have an event March 31st in Florida at Delray Beach. The first weekend in April, we got an event up in Rochester. And then on May 5th, we have an event in Boston. On May 12th, we have another event in Connecticut. Most of our events, most likely, you know, obviously are going to take place in the second half of the year because you need lead time.
Right.
But we will probably have our first year 20 to 25 competitions, which I was hoping for 8 to 10.
Right.
You know. And, you know, my goal is to get, you know, at least 40 states organized before the end of the year. Now, I do have people, I'm not going to name the areas, but I have people that made commitments to other organizations. And when I spoke to them, they said, no, I want to be with you. I love what you're doing. And they're switching over. I got a lot of people from other organizations that's just saying, you know, at least you're doing something for the athlete. We're not doing anything. I want to be with you.
Okay.
And they're coming over.
An annual membership for an athlete is $130. How is that compared to some other sanctioning bodies?
Lee Thompson's NSL, I believe, is $150. I think the MPC is $125.
Okay. All right. So it's comparable. Okay.
It's comparable.
So what
I mean, we're using the membership money. That money's not going into my pocket.
Right.
We're using the membership money to send the people out to place.
Right. Okay. Last question, and this is probably a critical one unless I'm not understanding how all of this stuff works. What's the chances of you getting the Arnold instead of an NPC amateur a sanctioned show? The IFBB amateur sanctioned show, because I heard rumors, and if you don't want to step in this, that's fine. But I heard rumors that actually Arnold himself is behind the idea of the IFBB amateur coming to the United States. Is that nonsense or is that true?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to Arnold.
Okay.
About that subject.
Okay. I heard from a good source that that's. And maybe you don't want to say that. Maybe you're just stepping away from it, and that I respect that. But
no, I don't know. I wouldn't say it unless I hear it from his mouth.
Okay. So
and
what?
I'll ask him because I'll see him in Brazil.
Because Arnold has had a lot of complaints about the NPC judging, which leads to the abuse of anabolic steroids because they're rewarding grotesquely, you know, hypermuscular, ridiculous looking. Physiques, it's lost its appeal. I mean, Arnold has been a vocal dissident about where bodybuilding was going from back in the day when it was still televised on Wide World of Sports, and he frees the frame to, I'm not going to name the bodybuilder because he's a friend of mine, but he froze it and he said, look at this guy's gut, what's this? And he circled it on, you know how they do that when they can circle something on? And you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to mention his name because he's a good guy. And he's like, what is this? And that's when it was still being televised. So Arnold has been a vocal dissident of where the sport has been going, and that starts in the amateur level, which that starts with the judging, which that starts with turning your back on the changes, let's just say the changes in the physique. How do you even rein that back in? I guess through drug testing, obviously. But I heard Arnold.
You know, but here's the thing. I know what you're saying. Here's the thing. When you're starting fresh, you put in, you have your rules, and you instruct your judges to adhere strictly to the rules.
But what's the chances of you getting the Arnold? What is the chances of you unseating the NPC and getting the Arnold? Because I
oh, you mean the Arnold in Columbus?
Yeah. Because I think
I'll just say this: anything is possible.
Okay.
You know, the compromise this year is Arnold Classic Columbus and Arnold Classic Australia was done with Jim Mannion's NPC,
right?
And the Arnold Classic Europe in Barcelona, Africa in South Africa. And South America in Brazil is done with Raphael. And when the year's over, Jim Lorma, Bob Lorma, and Arnold will reevaluate.
Yeah, because I really think Arnold wants what you are talking about. Arnold wants the athletes to return to a prettier, more aesthetic physique and get away from this gargantuan amount.
And we're not only talking about the men; we're talking about the women.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know, yeah,
look at a bikini girl today, who could probably beat Tori Everson in her prime. What are we talking about? Okay. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but they got rid of women's bodybuilding. But now the women's physique is actually starting to encroach on what women's bodybuilding was. So it's like...
Yeah, well, it just keeps going because they keep rewarding more and more. We have strictly put in our rules that say in bikini, we are not looking for any muscularity. We're looking for a toned body. We are judging everything from head to toe. So we all know if women take drugs, it affects their facial features, their looks.
Their voice.
I mean, but we want attractive, marketable women. For me to take a woman, a female champion of ours, and try to market her to mainstream companies, she has to have that look.
Yeah.
And why has out of all these thousands and thousands of bikini and figure girls, none of them have hit the mainstream market?
Right, because they don't look like mainstream people. Let's be honest. I'm not saying anything that anybody else has said. When people go to the Arnold, when people go to the Olympia, they go there to see, these are not my words, they go there to see the freaks. Well, mainstream America does not want to participate in a freak show.
Yeah, and that market that goes to see the freaks is shrinking and shrinking.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, so, I mean, you were talking about endorsements. I mean, to my knowledge, Phil Heath is Mr. Olympia, and I don't see him having any endorsement contracts.
Yeah, Nike's not knocking on his door. I know. You're right.
Nike and anybody like that, what about all the companies in the sport?
Yeah, right, right.
He's not on the – I mean, what does that say that if you're – Mr. Olympia is the top man out of everyone in the sport of the prize money given – the money given to Mr. Olympia, because he got last year $400,000. Winner of the Arnold Classic in Columbus only got $100,000.
Right.
But there's no other prize money close to what Mr. Olympia gets, so he's considered the best of the best, and he doesn't have an endorsement contract.
Yeah.
You know, what is that telling you? And the way I'm looking at it is, you know, I said to Raphael, you want me to do this here? Let me run and do the things that I wanted to do. And that is the drug test, so then you can market mainstream. Well, if we get mainstream and get mainstream companies, then you're going to make bigger money. It's going to come in, and then everybody makes more because you get more people involved.
Okay. We have to pull the plug. I've gone 17 minutes over, so there's going to be a lot of – anyway, again, the website is – IFBBPhysiqueAmerica.com. If you are an athlete and you want to learn more, go there. If you want to be a promoter or your state chairperson, go there. Wayne, thanks for being on the show today, man.
Thank you so much, Carl. Anytime.
Right. Take care. All right, we're going to pull the plug really fast here. See you tomorrow.